Okay, welcome to March 29th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo, and I love doing this show because I love talking about America. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And on today's program,
America starts pulling troops out of Vietnam.
The UNC Tar Heels wins the basketball championship. The Mariner visits Mercury. And General Washington appoints Putnam to command New York. So, let's get started now.
1973. Here are the headlines. New York Times. Vietnam Accord is reached. Ceasefire begins Saturday. POWs to be freed in 60 days. Minneapolis Tribune. U.S. withdraws from Vietnam, but war goes on. The Amarillo Daily News in Texas. Erit ticks to an end for some GIs. Nam is home away from home. Indeed it was, for many. Around 7,000 American forces stayed in Saigon to assist the South from its inevitable fall at the hands from the communist North. President JFK first sent military advisors to the Southeast Territories of Asia to defeat commies, but it would be President Lyndon Johnson who sent in 300,000 troops. But Americans hadn't fought in jungles before. The enemy was often difficult to locate, as they tended to blend in with women and children in villages. Between high numbers of casualties, the infamous My Lai Massacre, which I go into bloody detail on my March 10th ep, Hamburger Hill, and other gory examples, the war just wasn't popular at home. Thanks to modern technology, Americans could now watch the horrific and gruesome scenes that took place in Vietnam on their television sets. The Tet Offensive surprised American troops, and though they were able to fight back, the damage was done, and the Viet Cong clearly weren't giving anything up without a serious fight. LBJ didn't even seek re-election, and Secretary of War Robert McNamara was constantly under scrutiny. It wouldn't be until President Richard Nixon that troop withdrawal began, and even that wasn't until the troop numbers reached a staggering 550,000, the most massive air and land campaign ever, and moving troops openly into neutral Laos and Cambodia. Finally, a peace agreement was made in 1973, but clearly America had lost this war and failed its mission of stopping the domino theory as another country fell into the hands of communism. The peace treaty was more of a symbolic gesture of America not being humiliated on the world stage, and before the ink was even dry, the communists in North Vietnam raged into the South. On April 30th, 1975, the last U.S. troop departed, and Saigon fell to the North. These days, Hanoi is the capital of Vietnam, and its economy is officially defined as Marxist-Leninist socialist, although, throughout the years, it has become more capitalist in nature, and currently is the 47th largest economy in the world. 1951. The Mad Bomber terrorizes New York again. Beginning in 1940, former power company Consolidated Edison disgruntled worker George Metesky went on a rampage, placing pipe bombs in public areas throughout the city, and the police had a tough time catching up to him. He started with a Con's Ed building, leaving a note saying, "Con Edison crooks, this is for you." During World War II, Metesky stated he would stop the bombing for the duration of the war, but continued shortly thereafter. On this day in 1951, the Mad Bomber let off a homemade device that exploded at Grand Central Station, and luckily no one was hurt. Still, the police couldn't find him. Actually, it would be New York Journal American publisher Seymour Bergson who would lead the police to Metesky's bomb-filled garage by publicly communicating with him through the journal. Metesky responded by stating his grudge was against his former employer after believing that an injury he sustained while working there led to tuberculosis and that Con's Ed hadn't paid him a penny in disability. He was captured by police January 21, 1957, and the famous picture of his psychotic grin went to newspapers everywhere. Why did it take the police so long to solve the case? Well, according to the Mad Bomber's attorney, Metesky was just a mild-mannered-looking fellow who could pass for your next-door neighbor. Scary, right? You can read more about the chase in Michael Greensburg's The Mad Bomber of New York, the extraordinary true story of a manhunt that paralyzed a city. Moving on to 1974. The Mariner visits Mercury, sending back close-up images of the second smallest planet in the solar system. And finally, 1776. General George Washington appointed Major General Israel Putnam commander of the troops in New York. He was ordered to defend New York and its waterways. Prior to this point, Putnam had a good reputation as lieutenant in the Connecticut militia during the French and Indian War, survived capture by the Indians, led regiments into victories at Ticonderoga and Montreal, was elected to Connecticut's General Assembly, and was one of the founders of the Sons of Liberty in Connecticut. My man Putnam also served admirably at the Battle of Bunker Hill in June of 1775, and things went south for him and General Washington from that point, and General Washington began to regret his decision. In August 1776, British troops forced his retreat at the Battle of Long Island and then again for Fort Montgomery and Fort Clinton in 1777. And although he appeared to lose his effectiveness in being a military leader, he served in the Continental Army up until suffering a stroke in December 1779. Interesting side note, Putnam's ancestors in Salem Village executed 20 of their neighbors after accusing them of witchcraft in the family trials of 1692.
And that is all, my friends, for March 29th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Check out my website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Leave your thoughts at the comment board. What did you think about today's show? Are you of the belief that Patton had a Napoleon complex, just like Napoleon did? Tar Heels fans, did you see the game back in 1982? Mercury fans, have you ever been there? I personally haven't. I only have a ranch on Mars. That's where my Aunt Goober lives with her twins Icky and Sticky. So yeah, leave your thoughts at the comment board. And on tomorrow's program, Seward's Folly, Bleeding Kansas, Reagan Gets Shot, and Chubby Checker News. So until then, thanks for listening, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.